Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining in the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is MC Blair. I'm talking to John Hall right here. You are listening to Your Health, only on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, the voice of resistance, right here in Charlottesville. John Hill, how are you?
I'm pretty good. What happened to the volume? All of a sudden it went way up.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
I don't know. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, we aims to please right here. That's for sure.
I'm good.
And I'm glad you're good. I'm good, too. We're going to talk today. We're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to start off with some home gardens. But a little later on, we are going to talk about the inequality of health care, believe it or not, between blacks and whites and women and men. It's amazing how some of these things, some of these myths that have actually been taught in a lot of medical schools, which are absolutely untrue and just kind of weird. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But I want to talk, first off, about home gardening. And, you know, one of the things that I found, and I know John agrees with me, he was the gardener at Twin Oaks for a number of years, a lot of years. And so he knows what he's talking about.
I was the tomato mother, and I also worked in the organic gardens for almost 5 years, and then I was one of the farm managers for a couple of years.
Yeah, and I've been around. I've talked to my friend Richard Collins. I've talked to Bob Messler about home gardens. I've been out there, had interviews with them. And it's really heartening, John, to see these folks really making a super effort at home, you know, to feed their family. I interviewed a gal last week from Hammered Inn Farm.
Yeah, you told me about
that. Yeah, and her home garden is...
The mic level.
No.
The mic level. Bring the mic level down.
Her home garden is less than an acre, and she has 9 families on CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, gets a box of food every week, and plus her family on less than an acre. So, gosh darn, I mean, it doesn't need a lot of land to have a productive garden, does it?
Most people wouldn't even realize how much you can do on an acre. Mm-hmm. You can raise more food than you can even imagine on an acre.
Yeah.
Because I did that 1 year.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, and it's amazing. And I also asked her, she came from Virginia Beach, and I said, well, Mitzi, what have you noticed since coming up here that your family is healthier, maybe less copays, less trips to the doctor's office, less colds and all that? And she said, well, yeah, less colds like in none, you know, for the past 6 years. And they were getting, colds a couple times a year, which doctors say is normal. But it's not.
No.
If you're eating right, you should not get a cold. Obviously, there are some environmental issues that can come up. But if your immune system, if your gut health is in order and in good shape, you're not going to get sick.
You know, at some point, we don't have to talk about this, but we should also talk about there is a relationship, obviously, between food and health. But I also think that there. You know, where you're coming from is where you're going to end up, if you know what I'm saying, you know.
I do.
I mean, I hate to bring religion into it because I'm not overtly too religious.
Right,
you know, in the Bible, Jesus says it's not what you put into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And so our thoughts play a huge role, I think, in our health. And that's an area that we're not taught and we don't. You know, our thoughts just wander all over the place, and we just think those are idle thoughts. But maybe our thoughts are affecting more than we realize.
Yeah, no, it's true.
But food, of course, is very important.
Boy, it really is. And a friend of mine, Carter Wallace, used to be the farm manager at Farfield's Farm out in Afton.
Man.
And he would say,
that's kind of far field away,
right? And they're big on carbon sequestration, no-till, all that sort of thing. And one of the things he said, obviously, it's what you eat that is important, but he said it's not only what you eat, but how you eat.
Yeah.
And not only how you eat, but why you eat. And when I was in Italy, my girlfriend was from Venice. And so our family, I told you about that.
Yeah.
And so we would sit down to a meal, and it would be hours. And they'd put out a little bit of some shells, maybe, and then a salad, and then an antipasto plate, and then a roast chicken, and then another salad, another antipasto, then a roast beef. And it would take hours. In the meantime, that's where I learned how to speak Italian, because that's all they spoke.
Right.
And so they're not going to, for hours, and they're not going to, you know, and then my girlfriend would say, oh, this is it. Oh, this is right. And the cool thing was, is that the grandfather would tell them why they're eating this particular dish at this particular time in the meal. And it's tradition, goes way back.
Yeah.
And that brings the family together.
And probably why at that particular time of year.
Absolutely. Even, yeah. Absolutely.
So that's really amazing. And I don't think there are enough people. I know I don't have enough moments in my life where you sit down for a meal and you just take a couple hours. It's hours.
Oh, I know.
And you're relaxed and you're with family or friends and you're just having a great time. And that's the whole model. The way I understand Europeans is that they work to live,
mm-hmm.
and Americans live to work. And it's not like we want to, but we don't know any better because the whole labor system in America is just geared toward burning people out.
Yep.
You know, use one up, throw them away, put it. You know, bring in another one. You know, and the whole idea is just. I mean, we work way too hard.
Yeah. It's interesting because they would go and you know, this my girlfriend's family had like three shops in town, all different. You know, it was a tailor shop and a bakery, and I think they sold like dry goods. But anyway, so it's three different shops. Well, at noon, they shut them down. Every shop closes until about 4. And so they'll go home. They'll eat about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and then they'll relax. Maybe they'll take a little nap, whatever.
Right.
And then they'll go back to work all fresh. And then they'll stay open until 11 at night. So they still get the number of hours that we get here in the shops. But they've had this midday meal with family, and that's every day.
There are people that still work in America. They get a 15-minute break once every 4 hours.
Yeah, I know.
15. Can you imagine that? You're on a factory line or you're doing something physical and you get 15 minutes every 4 hours.
Right. How about Amazon, the warehouse workers?
It's like, that is torture. It's insane.
Oh, I know. If they take a bathroom break, it counts them against their time.
One of the things I learned at Twin Oaks is that those are the friendliest work environments I've ever experienced because the people who made the work environments lived there. So they made them relaxed. They made them user-friendly. They made them, you know, easy. You could do all kinds of fun things while you wove hammocks, for example, in the hammock shop. You could listen to music. There was a drop-down, you know, headphone jack at every workstation, and you could listen to music. Or, well, the hammock jigs take two people, one on each side.
Right.
So if you wanted to, you could just really talk it up with the person opposite you. But if you wanted some privacy, you could listen to music or whatever. You could lift the jigs up, take them outside onto the grass when the weather's nice.
Sure.
And weave hammocks outside. You know, there was no boss, so to speak. I mean, you were your own boss, but somebody had set up the environment so that it was user-friendly, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the
relaxed
things, that, as you know, in home gardens, and I know we sort of started getting away from that a little bit, but this is really interesting. You just think about it, John, and I'm certainly no expert in home gardening, but when you garden, you grow your crop, whatever, let's just say it's tomatoes, right? And you grow your tomatoes, and you harvest your tomatoes, and there's a few that, you know, maybe, you know, got rotten on the vine or whatever, and you leave all that, and then all that, you know, waste and everything goes into the soil, and it's just there, and it's taken up and put into a compost pile, and then later used as soil. So in other words, you're kind of recycling everything. It's one big loop, right?
Absolutely.
Now, what if manufacturing did that today? In other words, you have all these workers working, and the stream of money is going up, right? Towards the top, the people at the top, right? And the stream of money goes off, and everybody, you know, takes a little bit, and that's for salary and benefits and stuff along the way. And that the stream gets to the top, what if a good portion of that went back down to the people, not in the form of cash, that would be stupid, but right. In the form of services, good schools, good health care,
sure.
Bonuses, longer breaks, this kind of thing, went back to the workers? Because I'll tell you what, Henry Ford, many people talk bad about him because he was, we now know him, Nazi sympathizer.
But one of
the things he did, yes, he took care of his workers because he knew that if they were down and crying and dying and all that kind of stuff, his product wouldn't be any good. So he took care of his workers well, paid them a good salary. And so because he knew that if they were paid a good salary, they'd buy his cars. He was smart.
He also tried to price his cars at about a third of what they eventually sold for.
Right.
And the bankers who were backing his company and his business wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
He wanted to sell his car. He wanted everyone in America to be able to afford one of his cars.
Yes. I know his original price was something like $75.
Ridiculous thing.
And I think that they made him charge like $250 or $300, which priced it out of some people's markets back then.
You know, it's the people with the money. But what you're saying is more of a model. It's almost like worker-owned businesses or cooperative.
Lincoln Electric is a perfect example.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're still in business, actually. You know. But they switched over to the model to where all the workers were shareholders.
Yeah.
And they owned the company. And they took care of them, and they got breaks and vacations and all that.
Child care. When you have an incentive to do better work, you will do better work.
Right.
You know, when companies take care of their employees, like when they give good vacations and good, services, benefits to the workers, the people who work there, number one, they hardly ever quit if they're, you know, if everything's going well, and they're productive
and they're happier, which means they're productive. And oh, by the way, and this goes back to it, guess what, folks? They're healthier because their mental health is in order, because they're not,
sure,
I have to work a part-time job just to make ends meet, and all that kind of stuff. They go there, they work their 8 hours, whatever it is, 10 if there's a, you know, a real rush on, and they get paid overtime. But they want to do it.
Sure.
You know? Because you're being civil. And it's all about, just like Home Garden. It's a cycle, and you've got to keep it going.
Everything should be, lots of things should be different than the way that they are. Not only should we be recycling, but we should be making things out of recyclable materials that we don't now. Let me read you this thing. I pulled it up on my phone because I put it on my Facebook page just yesterday. It's a quote from Pete Seeger. If it can't be reduced, reused, repaired, rebuilt, refurbished, refinished, resold, recycled, or composted, then it should be restricted, redesigned, or removed from production.
Agreed.
That's Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how you can get plastics, like plastic knives and forks for picnics that are now biodegradable.
Yes.
They make them. But they're more expensive.
Sure.
So, you know, everything, we are so focused on money, and we're not focused on the quality of life. My friend who was an engineer, he designed and built the machines that made Instamatic cameras for Kodak.
Right.
And he said that a pencil sharpener, he just used it as an example. He said they can make, this is in the 1970s, that they can make a pencil sharpener that will last 100 years.
Oh my.
You know, it'll be more expensive, but it'll last 100 years.
Yeah.
But he said they don't do it because it would take one drop of oil, like once every couple months in one hole, to lubricate it properly for it to last 100 years, and they don't believe that people will do that.
Planned obsolescence.
You know, and everybody could be driving the best car in the world.
Yep.
The least, you know, the most maintenance-free, the nicest. You know, but we've got tiers of cars. You go to the car dealership and you say, well, I can't afford their top model. You know, I'm going to get the lower model, the one with the plastic that falls off, you know, the plastic window cranks that fall off. And you know, but it's a ridiculous model.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous model. If we can make the best and do the best and grow the best and, you know, all those things, why don't we do that, period?
Yep, I know. And it's
get
like,
the best.
Like I was always saying, wouldn't it be nice and back when we started forming this country is to say, well, to survive, we need three things. Clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and clean soil with which to grow our food. And if we have that, our food will be clean as well. And if we just said any manufacturing operation that interferes with any of that.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, and sometimes it would interfere with it if we allowed that to be released to the air. But then they did measures to where they recycled the waste exhaust or whatever into something, you know, maybe turned it into energy for the plant rather than releasing it into the air. And if you can do that, great. But if you can't, you're not allowed to do what you're doing. That's it, you know. But of course, now it would throw us into a tailspin.
Why couldn't we have learned more from Native Americans? You know.
Oh, I know.
The whole philosophy. You know, I remember reading something that was in one of the chiefs, I guess, said, and it's longer than this, but the one sentence is, you know, that. You know, the land does not belong to us. We belong to the land.
Yes, we're caretakers.
More than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're part of.
Oh, part of. Right, that's true.
We're part of everything growing on the earth. We're, you know, the land doesn't belong to us. We belong to the land. It's a whole different point of view. Mm-hmm. And the point of view of that you're taking care of things for 10 generations from now.
In the Lakota tradition, they have a saying, I can't speak Lakota, but it's water is life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got clean water, you're good, because then that turns into clean, makes the soil clean and all that. And so when you realize that, you know, water will start in a spring somewhere in the mountains and then trickle down into a stream, into a river, and a bigger river, and then finally wash to the sea. On that whole journey of water, do not mess with it. You know, don't.
Right.
No, you. Yeah. Okay. Perfect example. You get a cattle farm. Let's say the farmer is saying, okay, you know, grass fed, grass finished. Let's say we're talking beef, and the grass fed, grass finished. Obviously, you're supposed to do that, and certain grasses at certain times of year, and all that. Just like us, right? Something in season, and then, but he lets his cattle drink from the stream. The problem with that is that they're going to defecate in the stream. They're going to mess it up. So you can use the stream to feed your cattle by just diverting part of it over into a watering hole, you know, up or watering trough to where they're not defecating in it.
Right.
And you fence your stream to where they don't get into the stream.
Right. Sure.
Same thing as the woods. If you have a big, a large amount of woods on your property, don't let the cattle go in there, because the underbrush, that's where the moles and the voles and the chipmunks hang out. And so if you allow that to happen, because the cows, of course, will eat it, you know, up 10 feet up on the trees, it'll look like a state park in there with no underbrush, which looks nice. But if you keep them out of there and you've got a beautiful environment for those small animals, guess who else hangs out in the woods? The foxes. They're not going to go to the hen house. They're not going to go to these places, because they have everything they need right there. So it's just all this beautiful, beautiful symbiotic relationship.
They might go to the hen house for a drink after hours, you know, or something.
We've got to take a break. You're listening to Your Health on WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm talking with John Hill, and we will be back right after this. Hey, welcome back. This is MC Blair. I'm talking with John Hill right here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I want to talk a little longer on this. Coming up, though, stay tuned, because we will be talking about the disparity between men and women and blacks and whites, or people of color and whites, in the healthcare industry. Very, very important. Some good information we'll have to share with you. But back to growing and, you know, not just growing, but the whole, you know, circle of life. But, you know, with the food, you know, manufactured, you know, we're a lot of subjects we've been talking about, and it all ties together, and we are all one.
I think a good question would be for just someone listening, an average listener, you know,
right,
or you or me or whatever. Where could we begin if we didn't grow up on a farm and we don't know any much about growing things at home, or just more than growing, the bigger subject of taking care of things, mm-hmm, and making sure that we don't abuse them, the land, or don't abuse, you know, like, you know, just where can a person begin? And my thoughts right away just went to whatever is around you, the people around you, the where you live, you know, just start trying to take care of it as best you can. Mm-hmm. You, mm-hmm, do whatever whatever comes up, you know.
One of the things I do, John, when I go out, I make it a point of picking up at least one or two pieces of trash, you know, make it look nice-er.
Yeah.
Now, I will not pick up used Kleenexes.
Do you take a scrub brush and scrub the leaky oil off of all the parking lots?
No.
Can you imagine what some of the, like, 1900s or 18th century Native Americans would say if they saw all the oil that is all over our roads and all over our parking,
yeah,
lots? And you look past it now,
right,
just we're used to it. But it's really horrible.
Yeah, it is. Now, you asked the question, what could we do? Folks, what you can do is, if you're not growing something, maybe you live in a condo or someplace that, you know, you don't have a garden readily available, you can volunteer at the Unified Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville with the City Schoolyard Gardens, Richard Morris on that. And you can also start shopping at the city market from the farms and eating correctly, eating the right food, because that will in turn support the farmers, which will in turn give them some cash, and then they can keep going. So that's some of the things you can do on a very cursory thing. Well, of course, volunteering at UACC is pretty good. And then also go to some of these farms. They'll, believe me, they'll welcome you with open arms. Call first, because you don't know when. But say, look, I'd like to come out and just sort of see your farm, see the operation, see what's going on.
Yeah, excellent.
You know, I've heard all this stuff about. And trust me, almost every one of them will say, oh, we have visitor's day on this and this. We'll give you a farm tour. Doesn't cost anything. Sometimes they'll charge. Well worth the money if it's $5 or $10. But go and learn about your local farmers, you know, and trust me, man, they'll give you some food sometimes. You know, it's like, well, oh, we have this extra food, here you go.
So, you know, I'm assuming in this area, I'm not in touch with it right now, but I know there was a period where it was very popular. There must still be farmers that are doing subscription farming.
Oh, yeah. Well, CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, and you can go there and for so much money a month or however they do it, sometimes it's a 6 month, you can buy a full share or half a share, and every week you'll get a box of whatever's in season.
Sure.
And it's amazing, you know, that kind of thing. So, and then, of course, going to the, you know, the headspace, if you will, of eating properly, and do some research. I mean, we got Google, folks. You don't have to do Google. I'm not trying to sell Google shares, but I mean, we have the internet, and use it. Do some research. Find out. You know, don't believe me. Don't believe people saying,
I don't
have to eat.
I don't believe
you. You don't believe me. All right. Take him out of here, will you, folks? I'll get the tomato police.
You're right. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're working on that question. And then back to that, health is more than just the food and all that.
Oh, it is.
It is one of my favorite things that I ever heard the Dalai Lama say. Mm-hmm. I said, "What better could you say than this?" He said, "My religion is kindness."
Yeah. Wow.
My religion is kindness. I thought, is that any different than anything Jesus ever said?
No, it's like Ellen DeGeneres, right?
I don't think so.
When she signs off every day, she says, be kind to one another.
I mean, let's start there.
Yeah.
Even if you're not outgrowing your own food or something.
Good call.
Let's just start there.
Yeah, just start there. Just be kind to one another. You know, listening to Your Health right here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm talking to John Hill, and we kind of started off on community gardening and, you know, local, home gardens. And we've, you know, kind of jumped in a lot of places. But each subject that we're talking about, it all has to do with health, and not only mental health, but physical health. It's amazing. And how we can, if we tie in to each person, we all have energies. And if we can tie into that, what we'll find, just by being kind to one another, that those energies will show themselves. You didn't even know they were there until you started that act of kindness. And all of a sudden, that just opens up a huge door.
Hey, Mike, I've got some tips, actually, for people that are doing some home gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Things, you know, you can grow things in this climate around here 10 months of the year, more
sure.
or less. And there are a lot of things you can do with gardens in the fall that people don't do. I think typically they don't do them because they're burned out. You know, you have a whole season of working in the garden. It's hot. August, as it's been like lately, it's been so hot. And people are just ready to kind of fold their tent and let the garden fold itself too,
right.
You know. If you're growing tomatoes, for example, and you want, you know how tomato plants will get tired around the end of August
right.
or early September, and they
yeah.
just not, they stop producing.
Sure.
They produce some small amounts, but they stop. Well, back in July, or maybe the end of July, if you wanted to, you take some cuttings from your tomato plants, the current ones that are still really robust and producing, and you pot them, you know,
mm-hmm.
you get them going. They'll grow their own roots if you put them in soil. And so they'll become little tomato plants, okay? And those cuttings will become fresh new plants. And then when September, October roll around before it frosts, those new tomato plants will have the same vitality as a brand new tomato plant. They won't be worn out by the season.
No idea. That's really
cool.
And
you can have fresh, beautiful tomatoes all the way until it frosts, whenever that turns out to be.
And my friend Richard has a covering that he'll put over his plants when the first frosts start coming, and it keeps the frost off of it. Now, obviously, when it gets really, really cold, no. But those first few frosts, he protects them and they don't frost.
Well, the Mennonite guys, you know, the ones that now have the tent out on Garth Road as
sure.
you leave town?
Yeah, yeah.
They had fresh tomatoes in May, which around here is crazy.
It
but
is.
But here's what they did. They planted them in the field, okay, and then they put a hoop greenhouse over them
mm-hmm.
and staked the greenhouse down and everything. So they were growing in soil, not hydroponic,
right.
but they were protected by the greenhouse. And they had tomatoes from that greenhouse in May coming
That's
out.
That's amazing.
But they were soil grown. And I just thought, wow, I hadn't thought of doing that. That's a great idea. It was just such a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's lots of things that grow in the fall. You can grow broccoli in the spring. That's when most people grow it. You can also have a fall crop. The same thing applies. You don't do cuttings, but you grow broccoli from seed, and you have to keep it protected and shaded, you know, and keep it moist and everything. But once it gets up and running, you can transplant it into your garden probably in early September, maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know somebody who was commercially selling broccoli on Christmas Day some years ago right around here because we hadn't had a hard frost. You know, broccoli will survive a light frost,
sure.
no problem. And so, you know, there are anything you can grow in the spring almost if you wanted to try it for a fall garden, you can try it. Not everything, but I'm not thinking of the list of what it all is, but there's plenty of things. All you have to do on the net says look up fall gardens, you know, and see the types of things that people recommend. But if you have the energy and the time and a little bit of a land, you can be having fresh things coming in almost all year round.
Yeah. Richard has, this is beautiful. What he did, he didn't have a tiller. He doesn't have all the things that a lot of people have. And, of course, if you can do no-till, it's best because it keeps the carbon that's not supposed to be released, the air, in the ground.
If you don't have a tiller, how do you steer?
Oh,
wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wrong subject. We're talking about something. I spaced out there for a minute.
I saw a movie one time, and the guy, he was a pilot, and he would start dancing with his girl, and as soon as he started dancing with the girl, you know, she would want to lead as well, and he's going, left rudder, left rudder. Pilot talk, you know, it's pretty cool, it's funny. So what he did is he took these hoops that they're black plastic, they're not, no PVC or any of that stuff, and he sets it down, and then he puts in the mixtures of vermiculite and all sorts of really good stuff, good soil, gets some stuff from volcanoes, the volcanic ash and whatnot, puts it in there, which is loaded with nutrients.
Oh, out near Louisa, there's that volcano that went off a few years ago. Yeah, you can go out there.
There you go. But anyway.
How does that fit into local? Never mind.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, it's got a lot of nutrients. And
sure,
the thing
is that he found,
and this is really interesting, he found that the hoop is about maybe 2 feet 2 feet tall, and the rabbits don't bother the lettuce because they see that barrier, and they don't, if you've got lettuce in the field and there's rabbits out there, they're gonna get to it. All right, I mean, they're gonna have a ball. But with this barrier there, which all they have to do is get up on their little hind legs and get in there and eat, but with that barrier that doesn't fit their model, so they don't know, and they'll leave everything alone. Uh-huh. Now the deer, that's a little different, but there's a he covers them over with this fabric that's very light, but it keeps the deer off his plants as well. Now there's some bugs that are going to get in there, but not many, and so he's growing all this stuff, and he has everything fresh. He just goes out, oh, it's time for a salad, pick a few leaves off several, you know, heads of lettuce. You don't harvest the whole plant, take a few leaves, and he makes his salad, so it's like full of nutrition, and there's no degradation of nutrition like it is when you go over long distances. And so he's extremely healthy, didn't used to be.
You know, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper.
All right.
I gardened for many, many years, and I farmed 130 acres farming. And I have never in my life had any trouble with animals, deer, or anything.
Really?
Never. I mean, if I had a home garden, for example, let's say, maybe an eighth of an acre or something small. They might come in and nibble one or two things, but never, ever, ever did they ever wipe anything out.
Mm-hmm.
Never. But now people might want to lock me up here, but I talk to the animals. So,
nothing wrong about that.
I'm just saying it worked for me.
Yeah.
And I tell them that I need this, and this is mine, and this is for. There's plenty of things for them to eat, or something like that, separate from my stuff. And I'm growing this for me or my family or both, and I need this, and I'd like you to leave it alone. And can you just go someplace else and eat?
That's really cool, man. And it works, by the way. I've had other people tell me that, and it's very much like the first Americans when they would harvest a deer or an antelope or. Antelope. I don't think we have too many antelopes on the Great Plains, but you know what I'm talking about, deer or bison or whatever was out there. And whenever they would do that, they would have a ceremony over that dead body. and you know, talk about it and saying, thank you for your contribution. Your hide is going to go here. Your teeth are going to go here. Your bones are going to be used for this. And the meat's going to be used to feed my family. And so that was amazing. I mean, just that is what I think what you're talking
that
about.
Level of
we
respect.
Belong to the land.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other way around.
And I was in situations where I could have irrigated, where I had the water source to irrigate, not all at Twin Oaks, and you know, but I had to catch myself, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do it, and I did not irrigate, and I've never irrigated anywhere I've grown things because I believe that it will rain.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we have this natural thing. It's called rain. It's a water source, you know? And people are so worried. Oh, we're in a drought. This is not going to happen. What? I better spend that $500, that $1,000, that $2,000. I'll irrigate. I'll go out there and I'll be all set up, you know? Well, to me, you know, once you go to all that work and your mind is geared toward that, it's almost like you're inviting the drought. So I have never done that, and I've always been blessed with, you know. I remember about 20 years ago, there was a drought around here, Albemarle County. I don't know exactly how many years. And the experts, if you will, there's an expert on everything, you know. You got to learn that in life.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, but so what, you know? And, you know, they said it's going to take 10 years for the water table to get back to normal. I mean, it was pretty serious, you know.
Yeah.
Not in my book. I knew that wasn't true.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months. In 6 months, the water table was back to
normal. I remember that. And I got to tell you, I went to Polyface back in 2002. And Joel Salatin took me around his farm. And he showed me the fields on his farm, which were spongy. And the grass was above my knees, nice and green. And they were still in the middle of a 25-year drought in the valley. Fields on both sides were brown, hard, and nothing grew. Since 1960, when his parents bought that place, and when it was a terrible piece of land, totally misused and abused, and within 10 years, they had that land completely drought-proof. And what happens when you take care of the soil and you've got the microbial action in the soil and it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, it ends up wicking the water below. Your entire field is a well. And you don't need to water. You don't need to fertilize. You don't need to do anything. Just let it go and keep your animals rotating across your fields and your egg layers going behind the bovines and all that kind of stuff. Actually, folks, we do have to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit, or whatever we can do, on the disparity between blacks and whites and women and men in healthcare. It's really, really interesting, and it'll open your eyes. It's something else. So we will be back. And we are back. This is To Your Health. I'm talking with John Hill, and I'm MC Blair, and we've been talking about gardening. Before we get on to the featured subject of today, which is the disparity between blacks and whites and women and men in healthcare, John, you had something you wanted to add.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say to anybody out there who maybe wants to start gardening or do things, growing things they haven't done before, to me, part of the reason of saying things like I've never irrigated, or, you know, I've never had trouble with animals eating my things, is just to say to you, don't make it too complicated. Try not to complicate the effort too much. Just your desire to do it is good enough, and just get out there and start in some way that makes sense to you. And then if you want some advice from somebody, please get it, you know, maybe somebody that you've met or somebody that you know, or online or whatever. But just get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And you will find that you will learn, you know, you'll sort of blaze your own trail right through there. And it's amazing the kinds of things you can discover.
Absolutely. Take the first step.
Yeah.
Take the first step, even if it's just a window garden, you know, in your house.
Yeah, just anything.
Because you can do tomatoes indoors.
Sure.
You know, nice soil, get some good soil and, you know, grow your tomatoes and green, I mean, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of
now,
stuff you can grow right in the window box.
I don't recommend that you build a model of Devil's Tower in your kitchen. Unless your name is Richard Dreyfuss.
Right, exactly. Oh, my gosh. We have fun here on To Your Health. Hey, we've got this thing, and I heard it from John Oliver originally. And, of course, he was talking about the bias between people of color and whites and men and women, and especially the people of color and whites. He said, frankly, who better to talk to you for 20 minutes about this than me, the whitest of white men, a self-described walking cider donut, pale, filled with cake, and found at every farmer's market on the Northeast. Who gets a sunburn while watching the Travel Channel?
Yeah.
I love that. He's a card. But on the issue of gender bias, numerous studies, women were statistically misdiagnosed. A 2017 study found that women were less likely than men to be referred for knee replacements.
Really?
Yeah. And more women need them because of high heels. Another found that women over 50 and critically ill were less likely to receive life-saving interventions. And it can only be attributed in part to dismissal of women's pain as hormonal emotions.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and a long history of studying the male body, as in assigned male at birth, as a stand-in for all bodies.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
He said, medicine is long chosen to believe that women are just hormonal men. Are you kidding me? Right? Or so children are tiny men, dogs are furry men, trees are big, hard, still men, birds are men who can fly, fish are men who can glub, and volcanoes are men who, for some reason, ejaculate lava. He explained the logic of male bodies used in a study on, of all things. Now, God, they look at male bodies and study them for a study of all things, cancer risks for the uterus. Yeah, let's do a male's body, and that'll give us all sorts of good information.
A lot of great data.
Yeah, right.
Plus, you'll get it from the horse's mouth.
He said, if I may, quote the inside of Donald Trump's head, when energy at one of his rallies seemed to be flagging, let's get to the racism stuff, because there's a huge disparity in life expectancy between black and white Americans, particularly black men. That's serious. That's bad. This mortality gap has numerous factors. He focused in particular on alarming misinformation and racist benefit beliefs still floating around in the medical schools. One study from 3 years ago found that some doctors still believe there are false biological difference between blacks and whites. 25% of residents believed that black skin was thicker than white skin. Are you kidding me? Now, there's a difference. There's a lot more melanin in the people of color. That's true, which means they can age better. They look better as they get older. But that's really about it, you know? And he said, holy smokes, you do not expect to hear that at a medical school, it's yelled across the table by racist grandfather at Thanksgiving, right? Ah, those blacks have thicker skin than whites.
Yeah.
You know? And he pointed out to in a nursing textbook that was pulled just 2 years ago for its stereotype on how different ethnicities describe pain. You expect textbooks to have typos or outdated information, but to basically say that Hispanics think God is kinky and Native Americans will tell you wizard numbers. What?
What?
You know, it's crazy, right? He said the point is that these misconceptions have tangible consequences. Think about it. If a quarter of medical residents think that black people have thicker skin and nurses are being told that they think suffering is inevitable, that might lead to black people's pain being treated differently.
Well, sure.
And it's true. They say that they have a higher pain tolerance. And I'm going, what? So this is ridiculous, right?
What's that? Where's this thing come from? The thing where am I not just like you? Don't if cut, do I not bleed?
Yes, that's Shakespeare. That's Shylock's speech from Shakespeare.
I mean, come on.
If you cut me, do I not bleed?
Aren't we all human beings? I mean, there are some differences because of climate and, you know, other things. And, you know, there are a few medical differences between ethnicities.
Yes, there are.
But besides that, aren't we pretty much the same?
Pretty much the same. We're all the same, just different color skin. And we all came from Africa. That's proven. That's a fact. He added Wanda Sykes. She's a stand-up comic.
I love Wanda
Sykes.
She's so funny.
She recalled a recent time when she was sent home from a double mastectomy with ibuprofen.
Wow.
While white people are handed opioids like they're Tic Tacs, you know, right? Now, I have a feeling she might have been in pain for a few days after that radical surgery.
Yeah.
And yet they gave her ibuprofen. They wouldn't give her the opioids like they should.
Wow.
Though some policies have been implemented to address specific issues, rules in California to fight the disparity in high maternal mortality rates for black women. Can you believe? I mean, they shouldn't be. It should be equal. Clearly, we need to think much bigger here. And I know I'm just not the best vehicle for this message. He concluded he invited Sykes on stage to offer comprehensive solutions based on personal experience. And, you know, it's interesting. I think doctors first, they need bias training, you know, as part of their training.
Apparently.
Says, I know that doesn't sound like fun.
They need unbiased training.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that's not fun, but you should do it anyway, like reading with your kids. You know, you should do that.
I mean,
things like that are really important.
If life expectancy is different for black males, you know, my theory is that if I had the level of anxiety that they have every time they see a police car,
yeah,
you know, I'd probably die young too.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. So there you go.
I don't drive around thinking that if I get stopped by a policeman, I'm going to get shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, a good friend of mine, he's a chef and works for one of the local catering companies. And he was walking from his house before he was married, walking from his house down to the local tavern.
Yeah.
He wanted a couple beers. And he's walking, so he's not going to drive, you know, and all that stuff, right?
Right.
Halfway down, he gets the police, you know, come in and pull over. And they say, you fit the description.
Oh, no.
Of this peeping Tom that we've gotten reports from in the neighborhood. And he said, okay,
It's not me.
Yeah. I live there. I'm walking there. Everything's fine. And they said, okay, you know, whatever. Well, it turns out they caught the peeping Tom. Now, my friend is probably 5'8", rather rotund, and dark-skinned. The guy that they caught was 6'2", skinny, and light-skinned. Yeah, he fit the description, you know? But it's stuff like that. So just think about it. Now my friend is pretty well, you know, on an even keel mentally, right? So he's able to handle that. Plus, he's real successful. He's a hardworking guy, never missed a day. I mean, just boom, 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 always done it. And he's got the normal savings stuff. I mean, he's a guy. He's a regular guy. And so he was able to kind of get through that. But just think about that. How would your mental health be knowing that you walk down the street, you very likely to get pulled over. I think they call it DWB, driving while black. You know, so, you know, and
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's it.
Cute.
So that really can contribute to
man.
A low mental you know, health, and you know, always looking over your shoulder, like you said, you know, and having to train your kids when they're coming up. And now look, you will be pulled over by the police, at some point, maybe more than once, because of the color of your skin. Oh, my gosh, as a father,
to have to tell your,
son that, and daughters, oh, my, right? And so she said, we need more non-white doctors in actual hospitals, not just the ones made up by Shonda Rhimes on TV. She's great.
The only person I used to look over my shoulder for was to see if it was Ed McMahon back when he used to give away the publisher's clearinghouse money, you know? Is that Ed McMahon? Yeah.
Well, it's
that did not give me anxiety.
I mean, you know, and of course, Wanda Sykes makes light of all this, this incredibly terrible situation, you know, of the inequality and whatnot. And she says, and finally, until those two things are done, more non-white doctors, right, and bias training, she urged black women to advocate for themselves. And if that doesn't work, don't worry. She's got a backup plan. It's called bring a white man. she's a riot. I like her, you know?
She's always been so funny.
And it's funny, but it's so sad that we're even talking about this.
It's horrible.
I mean, studying male bodies to find out what's, you know, about the female maladies.
That's like asking a whole body of male congressmen about women's reproductive health.
Yes.
I mean, come on. It's just beyond ludicrous.
Yes, it is.
It's just not even in the same room as ludicrous. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I know. I totally agree.
God.
And I think that now, 2 weeks ago, I had Lindsay Neal and Rebecca Downey. Both docs, and they are starting direct primary care.
Yeah.
And I just signed my wife up yesterday. They're opening September 3rd, and you can look it up online, Direct Primary Care Charlottesville. It'll give you all the information. And basically, John, what it is, you basically have a doctor on call at all times, and it's not much money. And so they
have concierge medicine.
It's not concierge medicine.
No, I know.
It's different.
I know. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. Concierge is more expensive anyway, and is geared towards wealthy people, quite frankly. But these guys, it's like for the one fee.
Oh, this is the Chevy Vega of concierge medicine. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's interesting. It's Chevy Vega price, but it's a Cadillac.
That's
you know?
Right. It's Cadillac care, but yeah, it's Chevy Vega.
Exactly.
Price.
Yeah. It's geared towards the middle class. And what's cool is that you go in there, and first off, you always have the same doc. It's not whoever's up.
Yeah.
Second off, they'll spend an hour with you if they have to.
I heard
not
that show of yours. I love that show.
Yeah, thank you. So check that out because these folks really do care about you. And I don't care what color your skin is or what your sex is, male or female. You'll be amazed at what these gals can do. And it's all across the nation. It's not just here. It's a right. huge support system. And so what they do, John, is if, let's say, you know, people say, oh, well, wait a minute, what if I need a test? What if I need an exam, a CT or X-ray or lab or whatever? My God, I got to pay out of pocket for that? Yeah, but guess what? They have deals with a lot of the labs and a lot of the imaging departments. So instead of those $400 or $500 or $1,000 that they charge the insurance company, you're going to get it for like, you know, $80, $100, whatever. It'll be kind of a wholesale price. Now, that's not true all the way across the board. But I foresee maybe taking out a catastrophic insurance policy with a high deductible that doesn't cost much a month so that in case you do get cancer or something like that and have to go through and get millions of dollars worth of services, you get, they say, a $10,000 deductible, right? You just pay that first 10 and boom, everything after that is covered.
Well, say a little bit more just while we have 30 seconds or something. Say a little bit more about why these women decided to go in this direction. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. It's because doctors were being governed by the AMA, and they would have to spend 2 hours of transcribing time for every hour they spent with a patient.
Plus, they only get to see the patient for 10 minutes.
And the reason is
they hated it.
Yes, absolutely. They were being stifled. They couldn't really do their job, you know. And so that's why they see it 10 minutes, because 20 minutes of scribe, so they can see, you know, three patients take 10 minutes. 10, 10, 10. That's 30. So an hour and a half of actually, you know, filling out the charts and whatnot. They had to see a ton of patients a day. Just to, first off, to make the living, and then they have to spend another 3, 4, 5 hours at the office, you know, doing their transcribe. And what if you have a family? They didn't have family time.
It's almost like they were being paid by, like, piecework. You know?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And so, you know, here you are, a caregiver and somebody who really cares about people, and you're not allowed to do your job. You're just not allowed to do your job. And it's like, malpractice insurance.
Right.
Oh, that's only going to cost you $100,000 a year in premiums. What? Yeah. Are you crazy? So,
well, that is probably not the reason most people got into medicine.
No, it isn't.
And it makes perfect sense.
And the other thing about DPC, direct primary care, is that if you're to where you can't come in, they'll come to your house.
Wow.
They'll actually make a house call.
Wow.
You know, like the old time
Marcus
where the doctor,
Welby,
yeah,
MD,
right, you know? Get in his carriage and ride out there, and the horse above you, hey, little Billy, yeah, we'll
Doc
get you,
from
right?
Gunsmoke.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. So check it out, direct primary care. It's a whole new way of looking at medical care. And folks, our time is up. We've had fun. It went fast, didn't it, John?
It did.
Stay tuned next week, 11 to 12, To Your Health, only on 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.